Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
Exactly the kind of sports story I'd like to hear, Travis. We could have one of those every day. In fact, you don't need to have a different one. You could just repeat that every morning. It's gonna be Jiminy Cricket by me. By God. 3 minutes, 34 seconds after the hour of 9. And this, the month of March, the year of our Lord, 2005. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. Rick Emerson Show is part of this nutritious breakfast. It's 503-535-9100. 1-877-535-9100 as we begin today's broadcast live. Live, I say, from Portland here in the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 910. We are here by the banks of the lovely feces-filled Willamette River, bringing you another day of whimsy and family entertainment. 503-535-9100 if you're inside the great city of Portland, as you should be, as all right-thinking individuals are. If you are elsewhere, may God have mercy on your soul. It's 1-877-535-9100 if you're outside of Portland. If you want to email today, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. If you can fight your way through all the emails telling me about this thing about Britney Spears. See, I just slipped the T's in there.
What thing?
See how it's like a simultaneous giving out of the email address, and then I'm teasing at the same time. Intertwined together. Like so many strands of DNA in a Watson and Crick textbook.
Come on, Rick. Let's hear guarantees.
We'll tell you. She's apparently pregnant again. Or I'm putting that wrong. She's again apparently pregnant. I guess is the correct syntactical way to put that. I'm not saying she's been pregnant before, but there's yet another newspaper article claiming that she's pregnant, which is kind of dumb. Because I'll tell you why it's dumb. Because it's just, you know, there's. Newspaper articles constantly suggesting that Britney Spears are pregnant are kind of like those guys who email in and they're, your show sucks and it's only a matter of time until you get fired, which I suppose is right in some grand standing way back and looking at the whole timeline of my existence.
I hate it, but I listen every day.
Exactly. Dear program director, I don't ever listen to the Rick Emerson Show because his show was terrible and completely without merit. For example, this morning, from 10:14 till 10:38.
Then yesterday.
I used to send out bunches of my hate mail. I used to assemble it and just send out a newsletter every 4 or 5 weeks of all my hate mail. And I had a little separate section on the website for it. And I just fell behind. I just didn't have the motivation to do it anymore. Maybe I'll start doing that again. I save it all in a big folder, though. I look at it sometimes when I'm feeling low. It warms the cockles of my heart. In any event, so I get these emails from people that are, it's a matter of time until your show is canceled because it's awful, which I suppose is true in some grand overarching sense. You know what I mean? It's like if you keep saying that once a week, which many people do, having precious little else to fill their empty lives. After 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you will eventually be correct, I suppose. So it is with these newspaper articles. Britney Spears will eventually be pregnant, but it seems like at this point it's just sort of playing the law of averages. In any event, so we'll have that. What else? Well, Terri Schiavo continues to get dry and husky. And her parents' idiot lawyers continue to wait to, you know. Just knock it off, man. Just knock it off. You're bumping the Michael Jackson news right off the front page. How am I supposed to find it?
And destroyed the comeback of Robert Blake in the process.
Seriously. How's he supposed to leverage himself at the paying off his attorney fees?
Ain't gonna happen. Pick the wrong week.
All right. We have some Easter things to give away. It's actually pretty cool. It's like an Easter brunch for four. We got some of those things to give away to. I guess we got to give away today because it's Sunday, right?
It's Sunday, Easter Sunday.
The Lord is risen this coming Sunday to wash your sins away. So we'll try to give those away. Scott Daly's going to be here from filmfever.org.
That's why they call it Good Friday.
That's a good... Wait, hold on. No, there's something there. Good Friday. Now, if we were alternative, if we were like an alternative station, we could have like a Good Charlotte Friday. No, I got nothing. You know what? I haven't finished my third cup of coffee. Because every day before the show, well, you all know this, I have three cups between 8 and 9. And I have another cup at 10:45. And that's how it is. But right now, I've only got two of my three down, which is why I'm rambling far afield from where I mean, even more than normal. I'd normally be much more concise and focused right now, but without the caffeine, I'm pretty much helpless and a slave to every sort of synaptic impulse that wanders across my brain. Religious nutcase watch coming up today. Darwin watch. A double snuff watch, but they're people you don't care about, so really, you put them together, it's almost one whole snuff watch. We'll get to that. We have email coming up. We're going to be talking to comedian Doug Stanhope, who's going to be here with us later on. And there's this movie that's opening today, this Saints and Soldiers film, which is against some pretty good advance reviews. It's some guys from Portland involved in the film, acting-wise and otherwise, actually filmed in Utah, not too terribly far from where I lived. And it opens today, and we'll talk to them later on in the third hour of the show. What else? We have a top five we'll probably not get to. We have an Insta poll we'll probably not get to. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't care enough to tease anything else. Oh, yeah, thank you, sir. Except to tell you that, of course, the listener party's coming up 3 weeks from today. Is that it?
Oh, I don't know. That's way...
No, it's got to be three, because two from now is Clyde's
thing. And it's on a Friday.
Yeah,
which is the best part.
Because 2 weeks from now is Clyde's thing. So 3 weeks from now, listener party eight, as yet unnamed, although I believe we will have a name on Monday. That's the latest estimate. I feel like Microsoft continually pushing back the shipping and operating system.
No, let's just say that we have a name and a theme, but some things have to come together to see if it's going to work.
Yeah, we have a name.
Helen.
Yes. Ed. Lister Party 8. Jeff. Oh, man, it's going to be one of those days.
Friday.
I'm already becoming dangerously giddy. The wheels are coming off this particular Indiana Jones mineshaft cart as we speak. So we do have a name. We do have a theme. But there's a few things that have to coalesce. There's sort of a confluence of events that has to take place before we can announce it. So, theoretically, Monday. But come hell or high water, look, name or no, it's happening 3 weeks from today. Viper Room, 7th and Hawthorne, 8 p.m., featuring a dead celebrity contest. You don't have to come as a dead celebrity. It's not required or anything. But we are having a come as your favorite dead celebrity contest, for which there will be fantastic prizes. That is going to be happening. Of course, the entire cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show is going to be there. We've got all kinds of other giveaways. The promotions team is going to be on hand with lots of swag. We have, and the great thing about the Viper Room is there's two levels. There's a stage upstairs, and then there's a separate area downstairs with this big black marble bar, kind of a DJ booth. But there's a closed circuit TV system, so no matter where you are, you can see what's going on elsewhere in the place. Downstairs, we'll have the DJ booth. We'll have a whole series of money, cash, and wealth-oriented songs playing over the sound system. We're all going to be circulating, doing the thing. And there's going to be... Well, this is not a paid advertisement, so I can say there'll be specials, right? Because this is just a promotional announcement.
Sure.
It's not a paid advertisement right here. It's what it's not.
Makes sense to me.
All right, Sarah Dillon's here. How you doing? How you feeling? You're looking very beatnik and bohemian. You got your whole... With, like, your blunt-cut bangs and your black shirt.
This is basically what I wore yesterday. I had a hard time getting up this morning.
I am Joe's pathetic sloth.
I'm not looking too pretty.
No, you're looking fine.
I don't think my stalker would like me today.
Man, the number of emails I got yesterday, guys offering to beat him down, because we got this... I think he called Matt yesterday afternoon, too. I think he's already tired of you. You're already old news. Because I was sitting in the back of my desk yesterday, and Matt's phone rang. And Matt's, you know, he didn't answer it for some reason. He went to the voicemail, and he was checking his voicemail later on. And I heard some song playing in the background, and I heard a whole lot of, you know, like... got a pretty mouth. And then it just, like, with a click. And so I'm pretty sure it was your guy. But we'll find out later on, but yesterday we played this message from a guy who very clearly is waiting outside your house with a gun and a bag. and who's planning on putting you in several small, carefully labeled jars in his basement. And I got all these emails from that guy needs a curb stomp, and you just let me know. Several emails from large male members of the audience who offered to go and snap that guy's neck like a dry twig in the Sahara.
That's very cool.
Yes. Trying to help. Tim Riley's in the Max 910 Newsroom working on the following stories today.
Paul Abdul gets a fine following a hit and run in L.A. Britney wants to flip burgers. A Florida man tries to steal a gun to rescue Terry Schiavo. And Jeb Bush is in a pickle and finds himself powerless to stop all this madness after fanning the fires of discontent.
Fantastic. So all of that is coming up, plus the religious nutcase watch, plus the Darwin watch, Britney watch, several in-studio guests, and all that other stuff. 503-535-9100, 1-877-535-9100. I was going to talk about The Office, but you know what? We'll have to do it after this because we're getting behind. So we'll play the song. We'll come back. We'll talk about The Office, which premiered on NBC last night. And then we will roll with the news as we always do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Trey Parker. It's Matt Stone. It's the Man Song, live from Portland on Max 910. You stay there. Tim Riley begins everything around the corner. Don't go anywhere.
Makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got there to fight to the top so we can know your story. Now you're a man. Man, man, man. Now you're a man. A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Makes a man, is it the woman in his arms? Just cause she has been
the movie doctor is in.
Or is it the way he fights every day? No, it's probably the
turn it up.
Now you're a man.
Tim Riley begins everything around the corner with the 9 o'clock news. You stay there live from Portland. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Max 910. Don't go anywhere.
So close.
You could reach out and smack him. Rick Emerson, live and local, only on Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
All right, it's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's Friday. Coming up later on this hour, Britney Watch. I believe we have a Snuff Watch coming up. The second hour, we'll have Doug Stanhope, a comedian, who's going to be in the studio with us. Third hour, Scott Daly's going to be here, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim Riley.
It's not just news. It's news that hurts. With Tim Riley, only on Max 910.
So we got some good news to start with. Those 700 National Guard members, Morgan, they're coming home. 13 buses have just departed Fort Lewis, Washington. This is the 2nd Battalion, 162nd Infantry, and they're from all over the state. At the Oregon-Washington border, the Oregon State Police will provide an escort. So that's
now, but these guys,
they've been gone for 18 months.
Now, these are National Guard guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what I don't understand. So this is the thing I'm not familiar with. Now, how do I phrase this? I've got to phrase this carefully because because clearly the definition of what it means to be in the National Guard has changed from, let's say, the Vietnam era. Because in the Vietnam era, Jesus, call a spade a spade. If you were joining the National Guard, it's because you were a guy who didn't want to go to Vietnam, and it was sort of a backdoor way to get out of...
Oh, the Coast Guard.
Yeah, it was like a backdoor way to get
not
out of any real military service.
You go in the front door, and you're on the front line now.
Yeah, that is not the case now, mm-hmm. clearly. The National Guard, this is not your father's... This is not George W. Bush's National Guard. If you join the National Guard now, it's like the real deal. They, like, send you there, and you're getting shot at, and, like, half the forces from the National Guard. However, it seems like that's a thing that... just changed during the war. In other words, it seems like a guy who joined the National Guard like 3.5 years ago might have been joining the Weekend Warrior Guard, and then it suddenly sort of changed overnight into this other thing. So my question is, what do you get for being in the National Guard? Because I think if you join the military, the Army, or the Marines in some way, those branches, you know, you get the money for college, and you get all the benefits and all that stuff. But if you just joined the National Guard thinking it was going to be a weekend thing, and then suddenly you're over in Iraq every day, I mean, do you get the same benefits and the same...
You don't get the same benefits as the other soldiers, especially a medical.
So you don't get the same upside as the other soldiers?
No.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. So word to the wise. You may want to steer clear in the future there.
And that's why they increased the age to 39 from 35.
I actually got this weird voicemail at home the other day. It was like a voicemail, but a thing. They're saying that, do you know a young person who's interested in an exciting career with the military? Please have them, if you know a young person in your household who's interested in money for college, have them contact your local recruiter. It's very tempting to have a recruiter on the show. Just have him come and sit in the studio and explain to me why it is that anybody should do that at this point. Is it because It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of potential upside to that, but maybe I'm just a tool of the liberal media.
Time for the Religious Nutcase Watch.
Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show.
That our first story comes to us from Florida.
No,
Florida,
the odds.
A man was arrested after trying to steal a weapon from a gun shop so he could, quote, take some action and rescue Terry Schiavo, unquote. Michael W. Mitchell of Rockville, Illinois. Oh, he did some traveling. Entered Randall's Firearms Incorporated in Seminole just before 6 p.m. Thursday with a box cutter and trying to steal a gun. Mitchell, who's 50, told deputies he wanted to take some action and rescue Terry Schiavo.
Look, I'm no Einstein, but it doesn't seem like you can take a tiny little knife and go steal a gun from the place where all the guns are stored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm no math major, but it does seem like that's an equation that perhaps is a little unbalanced in the other guy's favor.
Well, Randall McKenzie, the owner of Randall's Firearms, said Mitchell pulled out a box cutter and broke the glass in a couple of display cases.
Why would you rob a gun store with a knife? Even in terms of criminal stupidity, that's like off the charts retarded.
Once you get into Florida, there is something in the atmosphere.
Seriously, man, it's like there's some sort of weird Romulan death ray or something. It's slowly melting the brains of everybody in that city.
He told me if I wasn't on Terry's side, then I wasn't on God's side either. McKenzie said he then... pointed his own gun at Mitchell and ordered him to lie on the ground. But Mitchell fled out the store's back door before police arrived. He was later arrested in a parking lot.
Yeah, there you go. Good time. Man, yesterday, about 24 hours ago, what were we saying that this was over? Wasn't this the thing that we thought was finished? We weren't going to have to hear any... I mean, as of yesterday morning, it was like the Supreme Court had told Schiavo's parents to go eat a full bag. And we were just going to be waiting for her to die. And that was going to be the end of the story. And then I went home last night, and I flip on the Abrams Report, which I automatically, to the TiVo, I have it set to record every day, because once upon a time, there was Michael Jackson news. And it was stuff that I actually cared about. And I turn it on, and it was that thing where I thought that I was watching an old newscast. Because you can never tell with MSNBC and CNN, Tim and I have noticed this phenomenon, that they will just repeat... It's like watching the Northwest News Channel. They will just repeat whole swaths of program, the whole hours of programming. Things from earlier in the day they will play later on. But the really tricky and misleading thing is that they will leave that little chyron on the top that says live. And so you can never really tell when it's live and when it's Memorex with those guys. And so I'm turning on MSNBC and it's Schiavo parents file immediate, emergency appeal with federal lawyer. I'm like, well, Well, this must be from earlier in the day. But it's not. So they filed some other appeal with some other judge?
Yeah, they just did it again. Not too long ago. Florida Governor Jeb Bush addresses all the crazy people who live in the state.
And I fully appreciate their sentiments and the emotions that go with this. But I cannot go, and as I've been consistently saying, and I guess you guys haven't been listening and repeating
no,
it.
No, we have been.
I've consistently said that I can't go beyond what my powers are, and I'm not going to do it.
He kind of misled people about that, didn't he? Terry Schiavo's father just issues another appeal.
A strong appeal to the 11th District Court. We have an appeal in front of them.
Knock it off.
The information that was presented last night in front of the judge, the federal judge in Tampa, was very strong. Pardon me. Was very, very strong. And encouraging these judges when they review that it's under appeal to make the right decision. And we've had some of the best legal minds in the country working on this.
Okay. Whatever you say. I've lost track of what appeal they're filing over, what issue with what.
Because once one is rejected, they automatically file another one.
Well, because this is the whole... This is kind of the whole conservative mindset, that when something doesn't go your way, you ask for something else. And then when the something else doesn't work, you claim that it was flawed and biased. And then you ask that they were activist judges, you ask for yet another something else. So I know that there's like 15 different parallel tracks of legal process going on here with the Schiavo family. Because when I was a boy, when the Supreme Court told you no, that was sort of the end of the road. But of course... They went over to the Supreme Court on just this business of who is able to make the decision for Terri Schiavo, and then when that was turned down, then they had this business of where they suddenly found out that she was abused, and then they managed to dig up some after 15 years, they discovered, like, just the other day, and she was abused, so the state's going to have to take custody of her. And the court told them to pound sand on that. And so then yesterday, they dug up some doctor somewhere. Like, of the thousands of doctors who have weighed in on this, both in person and in print over the years, and of all the score of doctors who have examined her in person, they find one doctor yesterday, after 15 years, by the way, who's never seen her, never met with her, never been in the same room as her, but who, like, read an article about her, who said, like, via email, nah, she looks fine to me. And so now that doctor's opinion is the sole basis for this most recent appeal.
I saw the five-second clip, and she looked fine.
Boy, you know what's really sad, not to sound crude about this, but up until, I'd never really seen any photographs of her before she was all liquid-brained, and they were showing, on MSNBC, they were showing some photos of her from back when she was a healthy, functioning bulimic. And she was hot. That's the really sad thing about it.
Yep.
That's the true tragedy here.
What is wrong with
you? The real tragedy, the real human cost of this, is that she was hot and now she's just all drooly.
See, kids, look what bulimia does to you.
Seriously, you don't... Just stay hot and kind of chunky and alive.
That's a tough lesson to learn.
Wouldn't you rather be...
Hot, chunky, and alive?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you rather be that way than... I mean, you're thin now, Terry, but at what cost? At what cost? I'll be thinner in a few weeks, but I don't really know that it's a trade-off anybody wants. So, but MSNBC and all the networks are just, I mean, they're just tilted so far to the right on this.
And now when they're not discussing it, they're discussing religion in America.
Yeah, for reasons unknown. Apparently, MSNBC is incapable of reading their own polls, which indicates that like 85% of the American public want the government to get off Terri Schiavo's back about this and to let them do what they're going to do. So this will continue to unfold. So the parents, so it's 9:31 here in the city. So is there some appeal pending now?
Yes.
Okay, and so that maybe by the end of the show we'll know about that.
It'll be canceled, then we'll have a new one.
So this is just going to go on and on until she dies.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And her dad's asked, how's Terry doing?
Terry is weakening. She's down to her last hours. So something has to be done, and it has to be done quick.
Yeah.
All right? Now, I'll clearly talk about this in more detail, and I apologize for hanging you guys out like this. And I know you got a tough job that you're doing, and I'm really trying to string you on. So, accept my apologies, okay? And I'll talk to you later.
Apology accepted.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think the new rule should be, if you can't feed yourself, nobody else is going to feed you. That should be it. That's a good way to thin everything out right now, herd-wise. Is once you're over the age of 18, if you can't feed yourself, God doesn't want you to be here. And what? Here's the other thing. There's all of these people, let's be honest, they're all just these weird Christian fringe nut jobs. What if the afterlife is a great place? You know, why
don't you get to it?
Why hold, move on, sister? There's the afterlife. What seems to be the holdup? You just go sit at the right hand of Jesus, with the seraphim and the cherubim and so forth. Just what? Why would you possibly delay that? I don't understand. And this idea that somehow when the parents come and talk to her, she's responding and talking. You know what? And somebody made the best comment. Somebody yesterday made the very best comment about Terri Schiavo, which is that, you know what Terri Schiavo is? Terri Schiavo is sort of the medical equivalent of Michigan J. Frog. You know, the frog from those old Warner Brothers cartoons?
She does remind me of him in a way.
Well, you remember the frog from the old Warner Brothers cartoons that he would sing and dance and, like, wave a little hat and a cane when that construction worker was around, but then he would take him to the talentation scene and he would just go, you know? That's what Terri Schiavo is. When the parents are there alone in the room with her and nobody's filming her, apparently she talks and responds and jumps around and, you know, sings zippity-doo-dah. As soon as doctors come in, that's it. That's all.
Maybe it's stage fright.
As soon as somebody else looks at her, she's immobile. So there you go. Well, we'll continue to talk about this undoubtedly for hours on end.
That's the Religious Nutcase Watch. Is, quote, serenely abandoning, unquote, himself to God's will, according to a senior Vatican cardinal. Cardinal Giovanni Battista, head of the Congregation of Bishops, made his comments during a sermon at the Holy Thursday Mass at St. Peter's in Rome, where he was standing in for the ailing Pope. Senior Roman Catholic sources in London emphasized last night that the comments referred to the Pope's spiritual rather than physical health.
Yes, because he's dancing a jig somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing bench pressing and calisthenics somewhere. What does standing in for the Pope really entail? Is it just like, are you able to wiggle one of your small fingers and grunt unintelligibly? If so, there may be a career for you as the Holy See of the Vatican. I'm sorry. That was wrong.
Go ahead. Switching gears here, away from religion for a moment. As New York regulators closed a routine inquiry into Don Imus' charity for children, New Mexico officials say they still haven't satisfied all their questions that have been answered. Apparently on his radio show, Imus spent most of the morning defending his New Mexico ranch after a Wall Street Journal guy just tore him apart. This is kind of like political payback, by the way. Some people think because he's going after Rick Santorum.
Well, I don't know about the Imus thing, but I do know that the Wall Street Journal guy worked on the story for like a month and then waited until like 12 hours before publication to ask Imus anything about it.
Never went there.
Yeah, never went to the ranch, didn't know anything about it. And you know what? Whatever. I mean, to my understanding, the thing is that there's 2 weeks out of the year, like around Christmas, that he's there and the kids aren't or whatever, but... It seems like if you're willing to build a ranch for children with cancer, you're allowed to hang out there a bit yourself. And Imus has like a $90 million house in Connecticut or something. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really seem like that's a guy who really needs to be swindling anybody. So I think the article's a bit suspect.
Imus continued to defend himself this morning.
I've not done anything wrong. I'm a decent, honest person. I mean, I'm a son of a bitch sometimes. I understand that. But I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not a dishonest person.
Sometimes.
If you disagree with the amount of money that we spend per kid, that's fine. I understand that.
A simple solution for that.
If just don't contribute. Right.
He knows he's not perfect.
I'm not a bad person. I'm a prick, but I'm not a bad person.
He does have poor makeup, though.
He does.
That big weird, big clown wig that they... Is that you that showed me that publicity photo of him? Where
on Newsday.com.
Yeah. He really does have like a...
looks like
a carrot top.
Carrot top,
there.
Yeah.
Well, that's that same publicity photo that he's been using since like 1979.
Singer and American Idol judge Paula Abdul has been fined and put on probation after pleading no contest to hit-and-run driving in L.A.
Come on, say it. Sarah? Say it.
I don't know.
Say it.
I don't know.
All right. Here's, we're going to test. Okay, here's,
is
you know what we're going to do?
The joke thing?
Hold on, we're going to do it. You know what we're going to do? We'll do what we used to do when I was a top 40 DJ. We'll do the, it's time for a guest DJ. Did you ever?
Oh, I have it now.
You can't,
okay.
You can't say
wow,
it's too late.
That took like 15 seconds. What's wrong with me?
You're going all shivo on me. I'm going to turn it over to the audience here. So this is, Tim, did you ever do the guest DJ thing?
I did, yes.
Oh, you played a little.
No, I got a little listener to it. Well, we'll see if yours matches up against the listener. All right, so here's the number. It's 503-535-9100. So we're gonna do a little guest DJ spot. So here's, can I just see that story for a second?
Certainly.
All right. So I need you to make the dumb, obvious morning show joke after this. Here's the headline. Paula Abdul pleads no contest to hit and run. Singer American Idol judge Paula Abdul has been fined and put on probation after pleading no contest to hit and run driving in Los Angeles. So now you are responsible for making the stupid, predictable, lame, obvious, done 10,000 times by every no-talent morning show hack joke after this story. It's 503-535-9100. Hi, who's this?
That's Chris.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
That's the first hit she's had since the 80s.
That's not even
that's a good one.
Not even the one I was thinking of, but that's really good.
That's pretty funny.
Excellent. Wait, hold on. There you go. Yeah, well done, my friend. All right, thank you.
Do I get to do mine yet?
No. Well, we'll see. Well, you're thinking of the same one I am, undoubtedly.
Okay.
Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
This is Nate.
All right, Nate, what do you got?
She got caught in a hit and run.
No! Don't steal my thunder.
There you go. Excellent. See?
I was going to say it sounds like someone got caught in a hit and run.
Or
yep, straight up nuts on me.
Okay. You could also just do it the shorter way when, you know, pleading no contest to a hit and run. You know, this
No,
like
that's
that.
Lame.
I'm sorry. So there you go. So, see, being a radio DJ is much easier than you might think. You don't even need to be able to draw the little pirate or the turtle or whatever.
No.
You can just, there you go. If you were able to correctly answer that question, you too can be a radio host. Here's Tim Riley.
Top of the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch.
You know, this Terry Schiavo thing is knocking this Michael Jackson court thing out of the conscience of everyday Americans.
Makes me sad. It really does. I'm sad beyond belief that I'm not getting it because I did the Abrams Report, which is sort of my it's my one-stop shopping for all my legal news. All the Jacksons have been shunted aside, and I'm very despondent about the whole thing.
Now, anyway, nobody's talking about it, and they should start doing it. Michael speaks while leaving the courtroom yesterday.
Very much the same thing.
You're back?
Yes, and my son. I'd like to say hello to the people of Santa Maria, my friends and neighbors. Thank you.
Okay. So it's his back and his what? His
and
side?
It sounded like he said his back and his front.
Is this something about his pain? Can you play it again? This is his back and his...
Very much the same thing.
What's your back?
Yes, and my side.
Back and my side.
Hello to the people of Santa Maria, my friends and neighbors. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. He kind of has a little Milton thing going on when he talks sometimes. He's like,
Have you seen my stupid...
Back and my side.
I'd like to say hello to my friends.
I wish I had a cookie.
Grains of salt. Big grains of salt.
And that's it for now. Your Jackson Watch.
There's your Jackson Watch. That's it. Well, let's take a break here. Come back. Brittany Watch later on. Comedian Doug Stanhope, your phone calls. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. In Portland or outside of Portland, 1-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. We got a Britney Watch on the way, Naked News, Snuff Watch. Comedian Doug Stanhope is going to be here next hour. Third hour of the program, Scott Daly from filmfever.org and some of the people from Saints and Soldiers, which is a pretty well-reviewed film that's opening theaters everywhere today. That is all coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, this, however, is Tim Riley.
Well, listen to this. I bet you didn't hear this before. Homes with heavier roofs apparently collapse easy.
No, really?
Yes.
It's stunning.
New fire protective roofs on some houses in Southern California may have played a role in the mudslides. Raging fires that may indirectly lead to houses sliding down a hillside in a rainstorm, and part of the answer may lie with a roof over your head. A new roof may add 29 tons to a landslide. Pieces of foundation slide away, and what remains of one house is condemned. Houses are built between 1970 and early 80s in California. At that time, wood-shake roofing was the predominant material. Wood-shake roofing also has collapsed on three different homes in Los Angeles.
All right.
So the heavier the roof, the better off you are.
There you go.
Top of the Britney Watch.
Been about 17. The beat was going strong. Playing my favorite song.
We have two great stories today. First up, modest Britney Spears has big plans for the summer. She wants to work as a waitress at her dad Jamie's fast food restaurant.
Reality show.
The singer's father became the proud owner of the smoothie store J.J. Chill in Venice, California last year. And on Sunday, the sexy star... J.J. Chill.
All right.
The sexy star spent a day learning the ropes in preparation for her planned job. Jamie's business partner, Joseph Newman, told People magazine Britney was in the kitchen learning how to make the chili and smoothies. She also wants to work here twice a week during the summer. She also wants to design her own waitress uniform.
Uh-huh, okay. Who knows why Britney's doing this? Sarah?
Well, for a reality television show, of course.
Obviously, that's the only reason she would do this.
Just like, why do you think Tommy Lee went back to college,
exactly.
You know, and joined a frat,
that's
whatever.
That's totally what this is. This
so
is some,
lame.
How sad is that, too? Although you and I both know
totally
that we would watch it. I would completely.
I would watch it.
Well, I mean, I've just been...
I would greenball every episode.
I gotta tell you that I've been sucked into watching... I mean, you compare me now to me like 5 months ago when I was watching no reality programs. And now I'm not only watching, now I'm watching, I fell into watching The Apprentice, I fell into watching The Contender, and I fell into watching Project Greenlight, which is fantastic, by the way.
Yep, she told you like it.
Unbelievably good this year. I'd seen a couple of the episodes from previous seasons, but I just never really kept up with it all that much. But Project Greenlight this year is fantastic. I mean, they're going to be three episodes into it on Tuesday. Speaking of which, we'll close out the Britney Watch here in a second, and we'll talk about The Office. But that, yeah, this is undoubtedly a Britney Spears reality show in the works right here with her nutcase dad owning some restaurant.
Meanwhile, Britney has taken off her wedding ring and is reportedly staying in a hotel while husband Kevin and his friends party down.
So
married
sad.
Just 6 months, the pair reportedly had a spat over how to celebrate his 27th birthday. A friend of Spears told the newspaper Britney's very upset because she wanted to spend her birthday with him, but instead he invited his friends to come and stay, and they were bumming around, going out on trips, getting cigarettes and food. Wednesday, both were seen without their rings. She was in Santa Monica, California, and he in Malibu with the couple live. We don't know why she isn't wearing her ring, but everything's fine between Britney and Kevin, says Spears' spokesman. They're not splitting up.
Now, the story's no longer there, but Drudge for a while was reporting that Britney Spears was pregnant. Or he was doing it Drudge style. He was reporting that somebody was reporting that Britney Spears is pregnant. So that story has subsequently vanished, so I don't know whether that's still allegedly true or not. But if we just keep saying it long enough, it'll eventually be true. There's your Britney Watch. All right, we've got this. What did you think of The Office on NBC? I'm holding back my opinion until I see at least one more episode. I'm not 100% sure about the casting. Listening at work, James.
It was better than I thought it would be, but I think instead of film, it should have been on videotape.
Yeah, well, I do think so. I think that they're going to do that pseudo-documentary feel to it. The British one, they also will. They got to make it a little more low-tech. It's got to be a little more... a little more handheld feel, probably a little grainier looking. The lighting has got to not be so flawless because it doesn't really look like a documentary or mockumentary so much as it just looks like a sitcom without a laugh track, which I guess is okay. But if they're going to try to make it a mockumentary. Did you watch it last night?
I watched like the first probably 10 minutes of it. I TiVo'd it. I really wanted to watch it, the whole thing. But no, what I saw, it was kind of unnerving because, I mean, it's so similar to the British version, which just seemed
almost
different
word
characters.
For word, really.
I know. I didn't think that it was going to be the exact same plots. And
well, to be fair, the pilot last night. Now, the pilot of The American Office, which aired last night at 9:30 after The Apprentice, last night was the same script as the British pilot. They added a few Americanisms into it. That guy Greg Daniels, who produces King of the Hill and is also the producer, this added. If you look at the screenwriting credit, if you look at the screenplay, you know, whatever written by, it says Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, and Greg Daniels. So all they did is took the BBC script, literally just brought it over here, changed all the Britishisms to Americanisms, and that's what it was.
So is that what they're planning on doing?
Now, next week is when they start the American script. Oh. So next week will probably be the one to judge it by, because next week's episode, which is about diversity training, which kind of screams that it's going to be great, is the first original script written for the American version. And then I guess from then on, it's going to be sort of a mix of British scripts brought over here and adapted and brand new scripts.
The guy they cast as the boss, what's his name?
Stephen Carell.
Man, he's good.
Maybe.
He was a nerve. He gave me that same icky feeling that Ricky Gervais did.
I
wasn't sold on that.
I don't know.
I just saw the first, like, 5-10 minutes, though.
I think he's...
Toward the end, he seemed like he was acting.
The thing is, Ricky Gervais, now, again, it's hard, though, because it's like we all know Stephen Carell from other stuff. We know him from The Daily Show. We know him, like I said, I keep talking about how great he was in Anchorman. He's in that new Woody Allen film, Melinda, Melinda. The thing, Ricky Gervais had a really real big advantage with us in that we're all idiot Americans. We'd never seen him before. So to me, he just sort of is David Brent. So he's not, and plus Ricky Gervais also had the advantage of not having to follow up Ricky Gervais, you know what I mean? He wouldn't have to compete with anything. So the casting of everybody else is pretty good, though. I like the guy who plays the Gareth character. He's that guy who played Arthur on 6 Feet Under. The front desk girl, the Pam or whatever they called her, the Dawn character is pretty good. I mean, all the other casting is really great.
Was there a crazy outside salesman? I didn't notice one.
I don't see one yet. There was one really fantastic moment, and it was, I won't give the joke away, but there was a fantastic moment, though, when Stephen Carell, when whatever his name is, it's not David Brent, it's whatever his name is. It's like some radio name. It's like Todd Daniel or David Todd or something, where he is sitting in his office with, like, one of his female supervisors, one of his female superiors, and the speakerphone.
I saw that part.
Speakerphone call about the carpet matching the drapes.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
And that was fantastic.
That was very funny.
Right there. And he was doing that. Oh, what a terrible person. You know, that was right there with shades of the British one. That was... I cut pilots a lot of slack, though, because pilots have to do everything. They have to establish all the characters. They have to establish the thing. They don't really have a lot of time to be great. So I will judge it on next week's episode. I will say that all the cast is really good. I do have my reservations about Stephen Carell, but because he does look like a guy playing a part. He doesn't look... The great thing about Ricky Gervais is you never felt like he was acting. You just felt like it was that guy. But, you know, who knows? Maybe it takes an episode or two for him to get into it. But they got that depressing office vibe down, though, Pat. I mean, it does have exactly that same I want to kill myself because of this job vibe that the British version has. I was sad that they didn't have the British theme song, though. I know that we sound like the biggest geek wankers right now, but I miss that old, what's become of you, my love?
And the British office building itself was just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I just love the word Swindon. It's funny. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So, you might watch that on TiVo tonight. I'm sure a lot of people recorded it. Didn't have time to see it.
It's on again, I think, on CNBC tonight, too. I think CNBC recasts the Office, like, a day or two after it airs on NBC.
And also, BBC America is running their original series this weekend. So you can TiVo that.
Cool.
Also on tonight, biography, Elton John. 2 hours worth. What don't we know about Elton John?
Really? How many times can you hear about how he can't grow hair and he takes a lot of pills?
K-9-11 stars James Belushi.
K-9-11. Is that about the... Wait, hold on. There's some sort of terrorist joke there. K-9-11. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what it is. Is this a sequel to K-9? It's got to be.
Reluctantly partnered with a younger team, a detective and his K-9 assistant track down an unbalanced criminal.
Okay, this has got to be, because if you remember K-9, which is a movie that came out in, what, 91, 92, something like that, and it's, of course, James Belushi, who's sort of a destitute and homeless man's Jim Belushi, mm-hmm. John Belushi, rather, partnered with a dog. And then it's like a fourth-generation Turner and Hooch, really.
Maybe it should be K-9 2, T-O-O.
Something like that. So don't watch that.
Abduction of Father's Love. A man takes a baby daughter from a neglectful estranged wife. Oh, the woman's a bad person in this one. Right, and it's on Lifetime.
On the Sarah Channel.
Yeah.
All right, it's from the ReviewJournal.com. This is what the story that Drudge was linking to. He said, you heard it here first, Britney Spears, not a girl, soon to be a mommy. Look for the announcement any day now. Claims the Review Journal, claims Drudge. So there you go. There's that.
There's a new motion picture out called Guess Who? I guess this is about that rock band from the 70s.
Yes.
Judith Scott of Dr. Dolittle plays Marilyn Jones, the mother of a girl named Teresa, who's bringing her fiancé, Ashton Kutcher, home to meet the parents for the first time. Judith, please tell us about this story.
This is on the weekend eve of Percy and Marilyn's 25th anniversary. And I've been planning this party for a long time, and I've spent a lot of money. I have a lovely large backyard that I've, you know, hired a wedding planner for. And our daughter, who I adore, is coming home, and she brings home her new man, which is also exciting for all of us, because we want to see her happy. And the young man comes to our house, and he turns out to be...
White.
Simon. And all hell breaks loose.
All right. And so who is this that we're
Judith here? Scott.
And who is Judith Scott?
She is the mother of a girl named Teresa.
But, I mean, who is she? Does anybody know who this
She's
woman is?
She's from Dr. Dolittle.
I wrote down Judith White right. over here.
All right. I mean,
I was really excited.
So let me, I'm unclear about this. So Judith Scott is married to Bernie Mac in the movie.
Yeah. And is she a white woman?
She sounds very white, don't you think? I mean, I
don't think there's anything wrong asking that.
Far be it for me to judge people based upon the tenor of their voice, but she certainly sounds very Caucasian. So
No, so does Condoleezza Rice.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to see the goddamn movie anyway, so it doesn't matter. What do I care? You know, I officially don't care. Baby, doesn't matter to me. I no longer care about any plot holes or continuity.
Judith, please share your thoughts on Zoe Saldana.
Zoe is a dreamboat. I really love Zoe deeply. She is a very fiery personality.
She's got the funk.
And she feels like a daughter to me. Like, I like watching her dance, and I like watching her sing.
I like watching her undress at night when
like
she doesn't know I'm looking.
I watch her do those things.
I like watching her bathe when she thinks the door is all the way shut. I'm sorry. By the way, you're listening to KOTK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM Salem, and Intercom Station.
Let me dance for you.
Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's talk to Kojak's Rosalind Sanchez. She plays Carmine Warwick, the assistant DA in the new show, Kojak.
The new show, Kojak. Is this like the new show, Little House on the Prairie, that we were talking about the other day?
Yes. Complicating matters.
Wait, is Kojak going to be a sassy black man?
No.
Okay.
He's Ving Rhames.
So he's a large black man.
Yeah.
I figured it out. I've deduced it now. Because this comes... I didn't see it until we did this immediately following the Guess Who. That's the whole trick now. That's the whole trick to making any film. You just reverse the genders, or you reverse which one speaks English and which one doesn't. Mm-hmm. You reverse which girl is the poor girl and which one is the rich girl, and when they have to swap lives, or you reverse which one is black and which one is white. That's it. That's the whole thing. So this is Kojak. So instead of Telly Savalas, this is Ving Rhames as Kojak. Is this a TV show or a movie?
This is a TV show premiering tonight at 9 on USA, which nobody ever watches.
Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
Oh, Ving.
Mm-hmm.
How have ye sunk so low? Ving Rhames, who was Marcellus Wallace. He played Don King. He was in Dave, one of the finest comedies of our time. And he's starring in an original series on USA. Look, I know USA's got...
What's on USA today?
USA, the only thing USA has got is that Monk show. Right? In Monk on USA with Tony Shalhoub. That's
My
it, though,
My parents
man.
Love that show.
Or is Dead Zone on there, too? I think Dead Zone might actually be on USA. I could
if
be
it
wrong
isn't now,
that.
It used to be.
Yeah, I might be wrong about that. I mean, maybe it's coming along, but I mean, they're sort of a poor man's FX. I mean, it was kind of stunning when Glenn Close ended up on The Shield, which is actually turning out to be pretty great. But that's a pretty sizable step down for Ving Rhames to be doing a series on USA. I hope the money's good, because that seems like a show that's destined to fail.
I must warn you before we play these are very long sound bites. Rosalind, please describe the dynamic between Carmine and Kojak.
She is a very, very ambitious lady that has this dynamic with Kojak, with Ving Rhames, where it's very difficult to move ahead, especially in a career like that, assistant DA, somebody like me that has an accent that comes from Puerto Rico. So I want to do things by the book, and I want to make sure that everything is legal, and I'm doing things... everything is black and white and simple and the way it should be. And Kojak has a tendency, because he's very passionate, that if he needs to bend the rule a little bit to get away with what he thinks is right, he will do that. So the dynamic between the relationship is going to have some problems because even though we love each other, we don't work the same way.
Okay. So he's a detective who plays fast and loose with the rules and sometimes has to disobey authority to solve the case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rosalind, please share your thoughts on Ving Rhames.
We just did a movie together, and I consider him a good friend. So I know he's really intense like that. You know, he's really passionate and he's like bigger than life. You know, when if he wants to explain something, he will just go that extra mile to make sure you understand. And he can get really passionate. And I'm thinking it is because he comes from a really difficult childhood, you know, and nowadays he's such a mentor and a celebrity, and he's doing so well, and he's so wealthy, and he's really considered one of the best actors, African-American actors, and for me it's like a treat to be able to see that and to know that I'm going to work with somebody that takes the craft so seriously.
The picture of the Holy Blessed Virgin Mary has appeared on this toast. For how much will you buy it on eBay? No one's going to watch this. No one anywhere. No. Here, for no other reason than this, largely because of the cultural impact of the previous program and Telly Savalas, the word Kojak just seems silly now. You know what I mean? It's just a word that sounds a little kooky. It's like that Dragnet remake, Dick Wolf is doing, which is obviously going to be a big flaming disaster. Because he's talking about having the same theme music and the same opening where they do the dun-dun-dun-dun. The story you are about to hear is true. Which you just can't do anymore because it's become one of those things that has permeated the pop culture to the point that it's just going to seem like a parody. So,
and you get the old ones on DVD and they're just as good.
Seriously, man, you go back and watch Dragnet. Dragnet is still fantastic. Sometimes for its own merit, sometimes because it's got some camp value to it now. But Dragnet is fantastic television. You know what I was just watching the other day that I forgot that he was in? I was watching Sunset Boulevard and I completely forgot that Jack Webb was in that.
Oh, yeah.
When he was like... He was like 22 or something.
Kind of a kooky guy.
Yeah, he was. He was sort of a party monster. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to become Jack Webb, who's still, by the way, the only citizen. He went on to become Joe Friday, and he's the only citizen ever to be given an LAPD badge. Actually, if you go to the LAPD headquarters, they actually have Joe Friday's badge encased in Lucite, and it's mounted like right on the front lobby of the LAPD building. If you've ever been there. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, it's half of the nude news. Brought to you by Stars Cabaret.
Oh, this is... Yeah, okay. This is the Naked News brought to you by Stars Cabaret, where a girl's going to be doing an exciting... banana dance. Later tonight.
That sounds very tropical.
Something.
A man caught by police last summer on his 23rd birthday, running naked and covered with nacho cheese, pleaded guilty to burglary and four other charges. Michael David Mon of Maryville appeared before County Judge Joseph Kelly on burglary, theft, vandalism, and indecent exposure and public intoxication charges. In a plea bargain, Mon was sentenced to 3 years in prison but was given probation. Early on the evening of July 18th, he was highly intoxicated, broke into John Siever's pool snack bar area, stole some snacks, and did damage and was caught naked with some stolen snacks. Police found Moon that morning in the parking lot of the pool facility after a man had apparently scaled an 8-foot-high fence and was seen running toward a Jeep with a box of stolen snacks and a container of nacho cheese. In addition to being naked, Mon had nacho cheese in his hair, on his face, and his shoulders. He had a strong order of alcohol besides the nacho cheese.
That's fantastic.
Inside the vehicle was an open bottle of vodka.
It seems like scaling a fence when you're nude is a bad idea, too. Mm-hmm. There's numerous ways that could end poorly.
And loose pit bulls on the other side don't help.
Seriously. All right.
This comes to us from England. A naked man saw a burglar who broke into his flat and flung the would-be thief across the bonnet of his getaway car after chasing him into the street. Police are hoping people who were in traffic at the time recall the incident and come forward as witnesses. A man tried to grab the burglar's shirt, but the slippery man wiggled out and got into his getaway car, a red Ford Escort. His accomplice managed a three-point turn and then sped off. The offender is 5'9", pudgy with bad acne and bad hair. He may also well be bruised after a scuffle. I know, they all look
Does he work here on the weekend? Does he work over here on the weekend and sometimes at KGON? I'm sorry. Was that out loud? Never mind.
I have nothing more to say about that.
Move forward. There's your naked news.
Yeah,
brought to you by Stars Cabaret, where tonight it'll be an exciting banana dance, I guess. Or not. They got this cool thing where they set the bar on fire, though, so you don't want to miss that. And not the whole bar. Not the building. Boy, that went really badly. There's,
Wow.
No, you've seen it. They do that Indiana Jones thing. That's a whiskey. You know, that thing where they...
Remember the big rock coming, rolling down the bar?
Yes, they open the Ark of the Covenant tonight. It starts cabaret. We... Be there tonight as Nazis attempt to, As Nazis attempt to burn...
Don't look!
Oh, boy, that was just a disaster. No, they do this thing at Stars Cabaret where they flames shoot out of the bar. The one in Salem. Well, whatever. Let's screw it. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Utah's governor has signed into law a measure that requires internet service providers to offer customers a way to block porn sites. A law signed by Governor John Huntsman won't force the company itself to block access, but gives users a porn filter or software to block porn sites. Utah-based companies that build and maintain porn sites would be required to label the content harmful to minors. Those that don't comply could be charged with a misdemeanor, punishable with up to a year in prison and a $2,500 fine.
Because it is God's country. Some of these guys that are going to be here, we have the Saints and Soldiers movie. We're going to be talking about it later. We're going to get to some of the people involved with that who are going to be on the show. And I know they made it in Utah, and it astounds me that people still voluntarily live there. I mean, people who aren't incredibly religious. I mean, you go to the weird thing about Salt Lake City when you live there is that Salt Lake City itself is only a minority of it is Mormon. Now, Utah, of course, is like 80% Mormon, but in Salt Lake City, which is where all these things are based, Salt Lake City is like 60% Catholic or something like that. I mean, it's actually Mormonism, the LDS faith, is actually not the predominant faith in Salt Lake City.
And it has a big methamphetamine problem, I was reading
today.
It's
a huge methamphetamine problem and a lot of hot goth girls. And it's just the worst place on earth. It's just a terrible... And as I've you know, mentioned in the past, you talk to people in Salt Lake, and for reasons like this, the fact that the government wants to take away your God-given right to look at the boobs and buttocks in the privacy of your own home. You talk to people in Seattle, and you say, hey, do you like Seattle? They say, yeah. You talk to people in San Francisco. Do you like San Francisco? Yeah. You talk to people in Portland. Do you like Portland? I love Portland, people say. You talk to people in Utah, and you say, hey, how do you like living in Salt Lake? And they kind of go, you know, it's just sort of a...
Now, I give myself a year here.
And everybody in Utah is planning to leave. That's the other thing. I don't know if there's any other state like this, but if you talk to anybody who lives there, they're all making plans, which they will never follow through on, by the way. Because the longer you're there, it just sort of saps your will to live. It's like being part of a cult or living in Jonestown and just having all your protein denied, and so your brain is easily molded by the Bagwan or whatever. You live in Utah, and everybody there is planning to move. No one ever does move. They just stay there, and they have more children, and they end up being equally unhappy. When I lived in Salt Lake, and this is one of the great regrets of whatever tiny artistic career I have, there was, and they actually fired her about a year and a half ago. But there, when I lived in Utah, Utah actually appointed a woman. There was a woman named Debbie, and she was, and you all may have heard about this living outside of Utah, I don't know, but they appointed a porn czar. And I don't know if that's a story that the rest of the country really picked up on, but in like, I don't know, 98, 99, Utah appointed this woman who was a porn czar. Just like there's a drug czar and an education czar, she was a porn czar. And I am not making this up, these are facts. She was a fat, overly rouged, wrinkly blonde woman named Debbie, who was 45 years old and, by her own admission, a virgin. And she was the porn czar of Utah, because porn is illegal in Utah. You can't rent porn films. You can't buy a hustler. You can get it on the internet, and that's it. You can't, like, you can go to...
Are there people in back alleys selling it?
Yeah, well, when I first moved to Salt Lake, there was this place on State Street, and... And I think it might have just been because I wanted to see what a Utah porn store looked like. I can't, because I don't think it was for a bit or anything. I think it was just like in a porn store. It was a place called Bob's Magazine and Video that's on stage. I'm like, oh, here's a porn store. I wonder what a Utah porn shop looks like. And I go inside, and it looks like any other porn store. And I'm like, well, this is disappointing. I thought it would be wacky or weird or it'd be Jesus porn or something. But I pick up this one, and I'm, like, looking at the back of the box and everything. And then at the bottom, I see these words on the back of the video porn box. Cable version. And cable version means that it's just basically what you see on Cinemax or Showtime, meaning it's not porn. It's just like some softcore, steamier version of a Lifetime romance.
Curtains,
you know what I mean?
Blowing in the wind.
Exactly. Lots of soft jazz music. Yep. Looks like one of those Playboy videos you get where it's just, you know, like you don't ever really see anything. And then this guy, this like Lebanese guy who ran the store, sidles up to me and he says, "If you like that film, I have the good stuff if you want that instead." And I said, "What?" And he goes, "You know, I have the good stuff if you want to pay." So clearly it was that they sold the cable, the boring edited porn out front. It's like, what is the point of even buying edited porn? I actually ended up buying it just to see what it looked like, and it was the most ludicrous thing. And it cost like $45 or something. And it was like the most ludicrous non-porn you've ever seen. But they did a brisk business selling real porn out of the back. But anyway, legally in Utah, you cannot sell porn. You have to go to another state. So every time a friend of ours would go to Vegas, she would just be like, "Hey, I'm going to Vegas. Anybody want any porn or anything?" And if anybody wanted like porn, you would have her buy it while she was in Nevada because you can't buy it anywhere there. And so they hired this woman named Debbie, this 45-year-old fat virgin, whose job it was to look at and screen DVDs, videos, movies, magazines, books, periodicals that people wanted to sell in Utah to see if it was pornography. And her job, quite literally, as porn czar, her job was to sit in an office 8 hours a day, 5 days a week on the government payroll and look at pornography to see if it was a thing that we could watch or the thing that we could legally purchase. So that's Utah in a nutshell right there. The fact that you have a 45-year-old religious virgin deciding if I'm going to be able to watch some porn. So that's that whole state for you right there. And they fired her because they didn't have any room in the budget for her anymore, which is too bad because that's a documentary that screamed to be made. And you just call it Porn Czar, The Legend of Debbie, you know, whatever her name was. Here's Tim Riley.
Top of the snuff walk. I think Jolie would be the right person to cast with that.
As the porn czar?
Yeah.
That's your statement, not mine, mister. I'm not going to get in a minute.
No, I'm
that.
Saying she has a talented acting ability.
A bubbly personality. Okay.
Okay, we got a couple of dead people here. None you know of. This first one you definitely don't know of. Foghat guitarist Rod Price died in Wilton, New Hampshire after falling down the stairs.
Oh.
He was
57. That's not a rock and roll way to die. Rock and roll, you choke on vomit, handgun accident, flaming car wreck, fell down the stairs.
I mean, especially in New Hampshire, where nothing could be more than one story. What kind of a stairway could that possibly be?
About the least rocking death of all time. What happened? I tripped on some stairs.
The London-based artist was known as the Magician of Slide for his work in the band Foghat. The group is best known for its 1975 number 20 Billboard hit
Slow Ride. Take it easy.
I bet they still play it at KGO.
Boy, that is the worst song. Foghat, can I just tell you, when I worked at the rock radio, I had to play Foghat like once a day, every shift. It was either Slow Ride, I Just Want to Make Love to You, or Fool for the City.
I'm a fool for the city.
Well, that was one of the band's three platinum albums.
The worst rock group. I mean, whatever. God love them. They're successful. It's a dog eat dog business. So I admire anybody that can make a success in the world of rock and roll. But I mean, they're the worst, most useless band. And I mean, Clyde is an inexplicably large Foghat fan for reasons.
I just hate that name, Foghat.
It's corporate rock.
They're British. That's exactly what it is. It's very corporate. Very corporate, very mediocre, middle-of-the-herd, guitar-based, pseudo-blues, bloated white rock from the 70s. You know, like a completely uninteresting 15th-generation Xerox of Led Zeppelin. It's completely useless. Anyway, so he's dead.
He'll be missed by the townspeople of New Hampshire.
Fell down some stairs.
Barney Martin, a former New York City detective who went into show business and became best known for playing Jerry Seinfeld's father, Morty, in the comedy hit television series, is down at the age of 82. He died in Studio City. Born in 1923 in New York City, in Queens, he served as navigator in the Air Force during World War II before starting a 20-year career as a New York City police detective. He showed talent for making deputy police commissioners laugh during presentations. In the 50s, he began writing on the side for comedy shows such as Name That Tune and the Steve Allen Show.
Excellent. So he's dead. There's two people you probably wouldn't have known by name, and there you go. There's your snuff watch for... Tim Riley, the Max 910 Newsroom.
In a clear baritone for almost 62 years, Howard Rigg has been behind the voice declaring, "This is NBC Nightly News." Now, the longtime staff announcer for the network is shutting off his microphone for the last time. He's retiring today after decades of introducing John Chancellor, Tom Brokaw, now Brian Williams. He's 84 years old.
84
years. Can you imagine that? I hope I'm still working at 84.
The guy that I always wonder about is Don Pardo. Is he still doing SNL?
You haven't watched that show in ages. I don't know.
No one has. I don't know if he's doing it. Don Pardo, he's still alive, right? He's not dead.
I don't think he's dead, no.
Don Pardo, he's got to be old, though. How old has Don Pardo got to be?
No, I mean, he's up there.
He started doing SNL, God, 75 or whenever it was it went on? Because I think this is the 30th anniversary this year. So he's 75, and he had to have been at least 40 by then. Because he was doing stuff in the 60s and the 50s.
Yep.
So Don Pardo, I mean, not to gloss over this guy, but Don Pardo is really the NBC announcer that everybody measures themselves against. He is, you would talk about an absolutely unique, distinctive, and definitive voice is that guy. So
Gary Owens probably number two on that list.
Gary Owens. Now, he's got to be dead.
No, I saw him.
Gary Owens?
I moved here in a video store next to my house. He was running Spike Jonze videos.
Gary Owens was?
Yeah.
Here?
No, in California.
Oh, okay.
Not that one.
Gary Owens, the guy who was the announcer on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. That's where kind of a generation knows everyone. He had that classic pose where he was cupping one hand behind one ear.
He's always working. He does tons of voice work.
Him and Stan Freberg. Stan Freberg's another guy like that. Stan Freberg's got another word just doing wanky radio talk. But Stan Freberg's another guy. Stan Freberg is probably, God, he's got to be 80, 85. Something like that. That's it. He's still working though. He just put out another comedy album. Freeberg presents the United States of America in the Middle Years that came out like 2 years ago. He's on Likas occasionally. Likas is a huge Stan Freeberg fan, and every so often Freeberg will pop up in there. He was one of my early influences. Stan Freeberg was. So I'll be bummed out when he snuffs it. Are we done here?
Yeah, we're done.
We finished. So here's what's coming up. Around the corner, we'll welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Comedian Doug Stanhope, who is co-host of The Man Show. Is he still?
I don't know. I don't know if that show's still on.
I'm not up that late.
It's good that we're all informed and in tune. If somebody knows before the guy gets in here, email me and tell me. Anyway, Doug Stanhope's going to be here later on. Scott Valley from FilmFever.org, and we're talking about Saints and Soldiers, which opens today, plus your phone calls, etc. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Don't go anywhere.